The numbers told the story, they always do.
It's one of those idiots who believe in analytics.
This is a numbers game with Gil Alexander on VSiN.
Good Wednesday morning to you. It is a numbers game at VSiN, the sports betting network. VSiN.com, Game Plus, iHeartRadio, YouTube TV, and of course, SiriusXM channel 158. However you're taking us in, we appreciate it. You don't have to do them all at once. Just one of them works. We appreciate that. It's Gil Alexander alongside my little buddy Kelly Billen. And when I say little, he is disappearing before our very eyes, despite gaining a couple back.
Very
on
upset
vacation.
About that. Yeah, you actually made me feel better about that on the air yesterday.
Yeah, take them off.
The vacay pounds, they were added.
You were there for a long time.
And drinking a lot of frozen beverages that got a lot of sugar in them, Gil. A
lot of sugar. Well, we got a lot of sugar on this show today.
No.
I don't know what I just said right there. AJ Schultz talking NHL playoffs with us. He's the co-host of Puckcast with Statsman and AJ over there at RotoWire. He plies his trade. Country clubbing with Kelly, the Byron Nelson this week, couple weeks before the PGA Championship. Looking forward to your thoughts on that. Will Hill, all of his bets. JVT on the NBA playoffs. My God, we'll talk about this momentarily. What a couple of finishes last night that was, especially in Indiana.
I almost feel bad for the guy. I feel like every time there's some terrible Clippers loss, it's like, hey, JVT happens to be on the show.
And then there's that. The NBA hardos taking it on the chin with the Clippers at this point. JVT will be there. Jason Weingarten is coming on the show. Jason, we're going to talk Bill Belichick's girlfriend because he's obsessed with this subject, and I actually do think there's a betting tie-in. And Jason, if there's one thing he's more obsessed with than Shedeur Sanders and Bill Belichick's girlfriend, it's 100 men versus a gorilla. Jason has concocted an entire plan to defeat the gorilla.
Oh, so he's on my side.
He's on your side, and the both of you are ridiculous. And someone on Twitter said it, forgive me if I don't remember who it was, but they said, Gil, you love betting against human achievement. This is your finest moment. Oh, like, you're right. This is the ultimate.
That was a great tweet yesterday.
This is the greatest thing. And of course, I am bearing the headline. Coming up this hour, May most wins Major League Baseball, which we have done as a little cottage industry here on this show. I know others do it as well. Our history on this is a very solid one. We hit June last year on the Astros, both at 25-1 and 17-1. We came one out shy in March, April, hitting a 65-1, which is the worst gut punch loss I've ever taken at anything in my life. Came a game away in May last year. July, August, September, not so great last year. And then the worst call was this year for the March, April, which was the Twins. But, Kelly, I just picked the wrong market on the Mets. I did the Mets race to 10, and it looks like the Mets, well, not looks like, the Mets, for all intents and purposes, have clinched the circa March-April, where run differential is the tiebreaker. Something ridiculous would have to happen tonight for that not to manifest. And they have clinched at least a dead heat for the William Hill Caesars March-April win as well. By the way, DraftKings, like last year, begging out of anything beyond March-April.
It's kind of weird.
Is it that they don't want people having seen a month of baseball, or is it a technology shortcoming?
No, it's definitely not the second one.
I don't know if it's not definitely that. I just wonder.
Well, I guess the weirder part to me is I don't know for sure that they weren't the first ones to start this market.
I will tell you that I noticed it at Caesars William Hill first last year.
Okay.
But I could be wrong. I don't know. But anyway, they did this last year.
They bowed out after the first month.
It's only going to be Circa and William Hill Caesars. Those are the only two shops. For May, we will get to it. I have my play. I will tell you why I'm playing it. But as far as the Mets Dodgers, as soon as the Mets started crushing Arizona yesterday, I spent the whole game knowing that I picked them race to 10, but not for the month. I spent the entire game jabbing my pupils with a sharp point of a pencil.
You shouldn't do that, bro.
Yeah.
If anything, use the other side.
Okay? I recovered pretty well still. Okay. NBA. Last night. This is the one series of the first round that we probably talked the least about was the Pacers and the Bucks. Though Wyatt tried to make it a thing. I kept telling Wyatt, I was like, yeah, the Pacers are just a better team. Pacers are just a better team. But, you know, he's a Bucks fan. And
I had a Pacers series bet.
Pacers end up winning this in five. They beat the Bucks by 1 point, and they beat them 119-118 last night. But if you're just looking at the final score of this, my goodness, they beat them in overtime. First of all, Milwaukee led by 4 in regulation with under a minute left. Giannis at the line on an and one. He misses that free throw. Tyrese, 2 free throws. Then after a Milwaukee miss, a dunk by Tyrese, because apparently it was just the Matador defense the entire night against Tyrese. He gets the hoop at will. Horrible last possession for Milwaukee in regulation, where Giannis has this, like, you know, baseline jumper from 15 feet out, which was ridiculous. It goes to overtime. And then Milwaukee does it again. This time they lead by 7 with 40 seconds left in overtime. There's no way you're losing this. This is going back to Milwaukee. Oh, funny thing happened on the way to the gentleman's sweep. Yeah, not so much. They're up 7 with A.J. Green having one more free throw attempt, by the way. A.J. Green, amazing that he played for the Bengals all those years and now with the Bucks.
Yeah, talented guy.
He misses the free throw. Nembhard hits a 3 to cut it to 4. Then Gary Trent Jr., who was awesome offensively in this game. Gary Trent Jr. ended up with 33 in this game. But man, oh man, what happened to him down the stretch here? He throws it away, throws it to Nembhard. Haliburton right to the rack, layup, and one, hits the free throw. A.J. Green on the foul.
Oh, awful, awful turnover, but whatever, Gil. They're still in control.
Cuts it to 1. So Milwaukee is up 1, right? But, you know, at the very least, they'll get 2 free throws here, and then the Pacers will have to hit a 3 to tie, and you know how that goes. Maybe they'll foul him, so they're still in the driver's seat. But then A.J. Green throws the ball to Trent Jr., who lets it go through his legs, out of bounds, 5 hole.
What was that?
Oh, my God.
Wait, this bunch of 9-year-olds playing basketball? I mean, he Buckner'd it.
What's the Mr. Bean music that they play in the background? The Benny Hill music in the background?
Right, exactly. It was that.
It's like, and then, of course, so the Pacers have the ball with just over 10 seconds left. They're down 1. People are losing their minds because you know what's about to happen. Haliburton just goes right to the rack. Scores with just over a second left. Pacers up 1, ball game. Then Giannis like flicks it 3 feet inbounds. Desperation 90-footer misses. And the Pacers advance to take on the Cavaliers in the conference semifinals. Giannis 30-20-13 in defeat. Maybe his last game with the Bucks. Who knows? We don't know. The Bucks made 19 threes in this game and lost. 19 of 40. They outboarded the Pacers by 8. But 17 turnovers, including those last 2. This is from Automatic NBA. The Pacers trailed by 7 points with less than 40 seconds left in the game and won. NBA playoff teams in the last 20 years were previously 0-1176 when trailing by 7 or more points with 40 seconds or less remaining before tonight. 0-1176, Kelly. Well, now it's 1-1176. Unbelievable.
It's wild. There were all kinds of crazy stats about the ending of this game. Doc Rivers, this is another one I pulled in. Since 2000, NBA teams 943-19 in the playoffs with leading by 7 plus points. Under 35 seconds, Doc Rivers is 34-17 in these situations.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
He's responsible for 17 of the 19?
Yes, apparently.
I'd have to double check that stat. That cannot be right.
Doc's man. He's had some moments here at the end of games in his career. It is. I don't know where to start. I could talk about this game for 10 minutes. It is the fact that last, like, take away even some of the other points. The last Haliburton drive. I mean, it's Tyrese Haliburton versus Giannis Antetokounmpo, and it is clear everybody out. Giannis, defensive player of the year, 2-time defensive player of the year. I mean, squaring up against Tyrese Haliburton, and he goes right by him.
Right by him.
Right by him for an easy layup. And that is, it's tough for me to say that, Gil, after Giannis, who, yes, like, there's no secret. I love Giannis and Josh Allen above, like, anything else on this planet, so I will always defend him. The dude showed up like a gladiator last night with Damian Lillard out,
yep,
and everybody writing this team off. And all these rumors swirling of, is Giannis going to be here next year? Where's he going? Is it going to be Miami? Is it going to be Brooklyn? And that dude still showed up in a Bucks uniform and put up a 30-20-13 game and played like an absolute beast. I mean, he controlled that entire game. And yeah, they needed the points from Gary Trent Jr. and the Pacers stormed back in the second half and end the season. But man, it's tip of the cap to you, Giannis, because that was a hell of a game, and you put up a heck of a fight.
And you see Giannis had to deal with Tyrese's dad after the game?
Like, this is like, I don't... like.
Did you see the inside the NBA exchange on this?
No, I did not.
Oh,
but,
my God.
But that was about his father should not be allowed at an NBA game.
No, but that was about as heated a debate as there was ever on that show. Charles and Kenny taking the side of what you just said, which is he should never be on the court after a game, let alone taunting somebody, father or not.
There's no difference between a fan. It's a fan on the court.
And Shaq ridiculously taking the other side. You should be able to deal with that. That's part of the territory. It's like it was just a ridiculous debate.
Also, what else? How better could Giannis have handled that?
Oh, he handled it fantastic.
I mean,
he just looked back. Here, so bottom line here, we have our first conference semifinal series. And, you know, you can't bet on anything unless it's installed, Kelly. And they installed the Cleveland Cavaliers as only, I'm going to use that word, minus 450 favorite with the Pacers plus 350 coming back. Are you surprised? Is that short?
No, a little bit. I mean, we guessed this one a little bit yesterday. We talked about
it would be a tick
higher. We thought it would be a little higher than this. So, look, it would be, it's going to be look at Cavs or nothing, but there's, I understand the popularity around Indiana right now. I just, you've got a Eastern Conference is tough to separate in your mind from what you're seeing in the West versus the East, and that the top two teams in the East, I still think, are such a notch above.
I do too.
I think it's going to end up being the Knicks getting through, and the Knicks and Pacers are not bad teams. They are good teams, but there is still a very big separation in tiers between where they are at and where the Cavaliers and Celtics are at.
We'll get to the rest of the NBA last night with Will here on the other side. Will Hill joins us to discuss not only the association, but everything he's betting in Major League Baseball as well today. It's a numbers game at VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
A numbers game on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Want to bet smarter? Start with smarter insights. Right now, you can check out the Kentucky Derby Betting Guide, Greg Peterson's MLB Best Bets, and Wes Reynolds' CJ Cup Preview. That's a CJ Cup Byron Nelson. And later today, you can check out Zach Cohen's NBA Best Bets and Player Props, Jonathan Davis's NHL Picks, and Steve Mackinnon's MLB Analytics Report. Right now, you can sign up for our summer special for only $59 for full VSiN Pro access until August 1st. That is, just head to VSiN.com/subscribe to sign up today. We get tweets at Beating the Book, always appreciated. Jeremy Larson, Paul Carr is in the category of auto tail blindly, crushing it with his picks on a numbers game. He hit the Dembele goal score yesterday within 4 minutes.
Yeah, fourth minute.
Fourth minute or so.
It ended 1-0, right?
Did it?
I think so. Yeah. I think it was the only goal.
That was quick and easy from Paulie. Let's see. This is Ryan.
Did he kill it while I was out? Did you catch my text yesterday? There's some odd 2025 trends going on a numbers game.
Oh, yes.
Well,
yes.
Like Paul Carr, I think he missed one bet when you were on vacation. Like he was basically flawless except for one game. And then like you said he went 3-0 over the weekend when I was out. I'm like, man, this is kind of a thing.
Paul Carr needs one of us to be gone. Ryan Tjirdzma. This is the Rockies' May schedule. I don't know who's going to win the most games in May, but I'm pretty sure I know who's going to win the least. Brutal schedule. They just need to win in any month. Forget their schedules at this point. Martel J, a lot of sugar on the show today. I didn't know Delicious was making a cameo today. Chuckism 1, I found Nuggets 45-1 to win the West before Game 5 last night. It was too good to be true. I had to take a flyer. We'll get to more of these tweets because I real quick before we get to Will, and we'll bring in Will for this, actually. Will Hill joins us now at Not The Will Hill. That's with two E's on the on Twitter. He's the host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Comes to us courtesy of the Progressive guest line. Also part of the Chris Felica Bear Bets Empire over there at Fox Sports and star of the Megapod. How you doing, Will?
Boys, what's going on? Thanks for having me. Always good to join you guys. I'm hoping one of these weeks I can come on a Friday so I can curse like everybody else, but always good to be with you.
That's right. It's a non-cursing day. We have earmarked Wednesday as a non-cursing day.
So, I'm just upset that we don't get to see Will today. He had some microphone troubles or we had some troubles back there, and he was he's looking ready for summer, Gil. He's all swole, had the T-shirt on, looked like he'd been hitting the gym. Will's ready to show off the summer bod up there in Connecticut.
Yeah, looking swole, as the kids say. So the other three NBA games, so we talked about the just amazing finish, ridiculous finish in Indiana, as Indiana advances to take on the Cavs in the 4-1 Eastern Conference semi. But the others were Boston, gentlemen sweep against the Magic. They finished that off. So Boston is on their way to the conference semifinals as well. Pistons, as we briefly mentioned, they do stave off elimination. That was the one in the East that was a staving off of elimination. The Pistons are taking it back to Detroit game six on Thursday with a 106-103 win over the Knicks in an interesting finish where Tom Thibodeau, after injuries to both Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson, didn't call timeout to get either of them back on the court.
Yeah.
And then J.B. Bickerstaff does the proper thing. He fouls up three. Way yep. to go. So it works out for the Pistons. And then the other one last night, and this is, I'll bring in Will, because Will, I'm curious your thoughts on this. The NBA hardos love the Clippers. And Kelly, you and I said, we said the whole time ago, does Nikola Jokic still play for the Nuggets? Do the Nuggets still have home court? And the Nuggets roll last night, 131-115. Game six back in Los Angeles on Thursday night as the Clippers try to stave off elimination. Will, do you have a play on any of those Thursday night games or any of the two tonight? Obviously, the two games tonight, Warriors and Rockets, Lakers and T-Wolves, as both the Lakers and Rockets down 3-1 but on their home courts tonight in game five.
Yeah, I have played in just about everything, and I am still, however many hours later, just stunned at Bucks Pacers, because I was doing VSiN Primetime with Matt Humans, and I turned the channel. Matt Humans is like, oh, the Pacers were the one. I said, how? How is it possible? It was, Seven was shooting a free throw with 40 seconds left, and it's coincidental that Greg Anthony was doing the game for NBA TV, because the other great Pacer comeback in history is the famous Reggie Miller, 8 points in 9 seconds. I'm not sure if you mentioned this at the beginning. And he was on the Knicks there, and he was famous for the slip that led to the Reggie steal. So with Greg Anthony involved with both of these, and Greg Anthony actually started to talk about that game, the Bucks game last night, in the past tense, like, oh, you know, Giannis in both of these wins did this, this, and this, and the game wasn't over. You don't usually hear announcers do that. Just stunning. And it looked like the Pistons were going to do the same thing. They were very close, very lucky they didn't throw that inbounds pass away. As far as tonight, I just think the Warriors, I like the Rockets. I think the Warriors might punt. We've seen them do this in the past. Last time they were up 3-1 on the road for a game five was in Memphis in 2022, and they lost by 40. Curry played 41 minutes Saturday, 39 minutes on Monday. It's an older team, one day off in between games, three games in 5 days. I just wonder if they get behind early, do they punt here? So I like Houston. It's a dangerous strategy to when you only have the one chance at home to close it out, to just treat this as a gravy game and say, you know what, we'll take care of it in game six. That only leaves you one chance to close it out in game six at home. And not that they can't win a road game seven, but I think Houston wins, and I also think the Lakers win. I think Minnesota has already been called for four fouls. The Lakers are already in the bonus, breaking news. I just think the Lakers are going to get a lot of calls tonight. And look, they have not been able to finish, so maybe you're more interested in like a first half bet, because the fourth quarter, they just run out of steam here. But game two, when they were down 1-0, they won. They won comfortably. I see a similar sort of game tonight.
Yeah, T-Wolves, I think, collectively outscoring the Lakers by over 30 points in the fourth quarter alone. Rockets favored by 4, Lakers favored by 6. Just so I'm clear, are you betting both against the spread?
Yes.
You are? Yes. Okay. Those are tonight's games. Anything, Knicks, Pistons, Thursday night, game 6, Detroit favored by 1.5, total at 212. Clip show, 6.5-point favorites against the Nuggets in game 6 back in L.A., 211.5 the total on Thursday.
I like Detroit. I think this has been a weird series, because the Knicks won game one at home, and the road teams, I think, are 4-0 since. And actually, I was on with you guys a couple weeks ago before the playoffs started. Detroit in 6, 9-1 and 12-1. Man, I feel like I should be headed back to Detroit up 3-2 with a chance to either, you know, hedge or just let it ride or whatever. They let some games get away. They almost let last night get away. But, boy, this is starting to feel eerily similar to last year if you're the Knicks, where you just run out of bodies. The injuries start to pile up. Brunson banged up. They're sort of limping to the finish line here. I think Detroit gets this one at home, and Knicks probably win in 7. But again, if you're a Knicks fan, this is probably all too familiar for you for last year. As far as the other one, I'm starting to see some 7 with Denver, LA. I'm going to take it. I said this before the series, and it looked like after three games, the Clippers were just a much better team, but I picked Denver in seven. I bet Denver in seven plus 375. I said, if you don't have trust issues with the Clippers, then I have trust issues with you, because how do you trust this team? Harden, Kawhi, the history, everything. Like, are you confident the Clippers are going to win this game six? Or are you like, I could totally see a scenario where the Nuggets go in there and just close them out. So I will take the 6.5 or seven. You know, life on the line, I think the Clippers probably win the game, but I don't trust them. And we're starting to see the old, you know, Harden in big spots. He was just a complete non-factor last night. Christian Brown shutting him down. So, I mean, the series has felt destined for seven the whole time, but I'm going to take the points with Denver here. I don't know that they're going to shoot, well, I think 17 to 33 from three last night. That was an outlier shooting performance, but it just felt like they were getting every loose ball quicker, faster. They just, I know it's a cliche to say, oh, they wanted it more, but it looked like they were a step faster than the Clippers last night.
By the way, back to Detroit and the Knicks. You first of all, you're right. Detroit almost threw the ball away late, too, as well. But you mentioned it yesterday on text. You're like, Detroit could be up 5-0 in this series. And I said, yeah, okay, easy. Maybe it's 4-1, though. But they really could have, should have, perhaps, won this series already. They were up 8 in the fourth quarter in game one. Then they gave up that 21-0 streak to the Knicks. And then, of course, the foul that wasn't in game number four. So, I mean, and you had, what, Detroit in six to begin the series?
Yeah, 9-1. Then after game one, I bet it again at 12-1.
Oh, man. Okay, by the way, Cleveland, 7.5-point favorites in game one against the Pacers on Sunday. Any thoughts on that?
No, it looks about right. I actually thought Cleveland would be a little bit higher. I'm starting to hear some sentiment from the Pacers. Oh, the Pacers could push it to seven, or maybe don't sleep on the Pacers. They could win the series. I don't really buy that. To me, this is toss up between either Cleveland in five or Cleveland in six. I don't think it's a sweep. I don't think it goes seven. I don't think Cleveland's in any real danger to lose it. So, you know, toss up between five or six, but I think Cleveland's moving on. Cleveland's really, really good.
All right, you got 30 seconds. Baseball today, have you played anything?
Over 9.5 in Yankees. Orioles giving up a million runs. Yankees swinging good bats. Carrasco's not very good, and Povich isn't either for the Orioles. And how about this? 4-1 on the field for American League MVP, Judge versus the field. Was that less than 30 seconds?
It was less than 30 seconds. I'm going to need you to fill. No, I'm kidding. 4-1 against the field. Does that exist anywhere?
Yeah, DraftKings has the field 4-1, so you get every other play in the American League.
So you're saying, so which side are you on?
I like the field.
You
it's
like the
a
field.
Long time to go.
Okay,
yeah.
The way you said it, I thought you were taking Judge.
Yeah,
okay, so 4-1, you're taking the field against his beloved Aaron Judge. All right, Will Hill, everybody. Thank you, Will. Appreciate it as always, man.
See you guys, thanks.
Will Hill, at Not The Will Hill. Once again, Should Have Bet More, the name of his podcast. Not only is he on the Megapod, but of course, with Chris Felica over there at Bear Bets, all the Bear Bets podcast at Fox Sports. We'll talk some hockey with AJ Schultz on the other side, and then Major League Baseball, most wins, month of May. I will tell you what I have bet. We have all day to bet it. But that's it. They didn't give us much more time than that. Coming up.
A numbers game on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Looking for a new way to feel the rush this Kentucky Derby? First Bet is your front row seat to the fastest 2 minutes in sports and so much more. Bet on the Derby and hundreds of other races every day at firstbet.com. That's the number one, stbet.com. New users can use promo code VSiN200 to grab a $200 sign-up bonus. Get ready. The Derby starts at firstbet.com. We get tweets of beating the book. Best listeners of the game. Appreciate the feedback. J&J Watering Hole. Thank God I'm 58, and from those stats, I'm unable to be drafted into the Gorilla Massacre.
Yes.
That's right.
Yeah,
you did not meet the demographic requirements.
There were age requirements.
From ChatGPT. Jesse Welch, it is incredibly disappointing that DraftKings, once again, is not doing the month-to-month MLB most wins market. Why April and then nothing else? We don't know. We speculate, but we don't know. Hoops by Hoots. Make sure you let me know if you're going to be using Josh Allen for your team to take down the Gorilla, Jason. I need time to make a trade in my Dynasty League and get off of him. It's very true. And Corbin, so what you're telling me, Gil, is that if you put 100 Kelly Bidlins and one Gorilla up against each other in an old-fashioned Donnybrook, and that Gorilla standing in the way of Kelly and his fancy umbrella drinks, I don't think the Gorilla stands a chance in hell.
Ah, no. See, like, this is where I'll push back. The Gorilla definitely wins that battle because all 100 Kellys would be arguing with each other about who's going to get sacrificed.
Yo, Worthy.
Still agree on the right move, but like, no, it's that we'd all argue with each other.
Yo, Worthy 311, Hard Rock Bet in Florida does not have North Carolina season win total up at all. and A. Brown on Jason. That's a baseball weighs 5 ounces. Steel toe boots average 4.1 pounds. No chance MLB pitchers have enough accuracy to consistently fire at, come in contact with Gorilla's head. They throw one locked down at their elbow, call for the bullpen card, and get the hell out of there.
Yeah, it was really well thought out by Jason, but I disagree with a lot of his strategies. I thought my broken bone idea was a lot better.
Weapons. You're not allowed to have weapons. And finally, Chance Copperpot, the hard-hitting, deep-dive sports betting conversations you need. Bill's girlfriend and Gorilla versus Men. I'm here for it. Thank you, Chance. Appreciate it. Jason Weingarten, that will probably be the crescendo on the Gorilla, but who knows? It may come up again. Maybe even now. Our senior NBA analyst and co-host of Money Moves is with us. He does Money Moves each and every day here right after this show with Stormy Bonatoni. He's in studio with us now, ladies and gentlemen. It's Jonathan Von Tobel at me, JVT, on the old Twitter machine. How you doing, John?
I'm good. I'm good. Very good. Still getting used to like bringing the energy up this early in the morning. You know, usually I can just be kind of sour and sit in front of my computer for a couple of hours.
Don't the kids wake you up anyway, even if you didn't have
a show? Oh, they do, but like I'm like, you know, in a bad mood. So like I get to like sit around and just kind of like be me for a little bit. But now I have to bring up the energy, especially with I know Stormy comes off as a sourpuss, but I do have to match the energy.
How much caffeine does it take you to get going in the morning?
So this is a big thing. It's actually a big debate in my house because my wife thinks I have too much caffeine. I actually measure how much I have caffeine. I am at about 310 milligrams of caffeine a day. That is what I generally keep myself at.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Recommended
you've
dose.
You've gone down.
Yeah, I was going to say. Usually
you've gone down.
Yeah, usually I think they recommended like what like max amount you're supposed to have is around 400. So I'm trying to keep it down.
You're a healthy guy.
I was talking to Dr. Bob. He has kids, right? A little older than yours, yesterday on the phone. I'm like, how are your kids doing, Bob? Because that's what you ask somebody. He's like, well, the boy is selfish. Self-centered, and I'm like, good God. Sorry.
My answer
you.
To that is they're alive.
They're alive.
And that's,
okay.
That's like the main goal of parenting.
All right, John, we almost feel apologetic to you because it feels like we have you on after the Clippers lose.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
How down 3-2 now to the Nuggets after they, I saw your tweets last night. You were not happy with the Clippers' effort. I mean, how do you feel about this now?
So I was reminiscent of, it's actually one of my favorite, this will make sense in a second. It's one of my favorite Ime Udoka stories when he was coaching the Boston Celtics, where I don't know what game it was, but he reportedly calls a timeout and gets the huddle together and reportedly tells them, will you guys stop playing like a-holes, and then walks away. Like that was the entirety of the huddle, and I felt like they needed that timeout at some point, and it never came yesterday. They played like a-holes on defense. Like that looked, with the way that I have described the Clippers when they play like that, I think the perfect word that comes to mind is apathy. They look apathetic. They look like a team that thinks they are the better team and doesn't come with the required energy. And I think that that is the downside of having a superstar like Kawhi Leonard, who never gets too high or never gets too low. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes you need to get a little high. And then the other power, the other pole, if you will, the North Star, whatever, is James Harden, who is James Harden. So I don't think that really helps in a series in which we have seen this team do it before. The Nuggets have been to the mountaintop. They have won. They have the best player on the planet. They are a fiery group of guys who actually look like they take it somewhat seriously. And I think that is one of the big things that has worked against the Clippers here. The Nuggets are consistent. I think the Clippers are better even to this moment, but the Nuggets are consistent. And I think that it makes the biggest difference in the world.
Clippers 6.5-point favorites tomorrow night, game 6.
I think 5 is more fair. Like, I think you're probably more in like the range of 5. That's very much like super bounce back territory there. I think you guys were talking with Will, like 7s were out there earlier.
There's 7s. Yeah. To me, that is quite the over adjustment for a must win game. I mean, must win game for the Clippers, but it's too much.
I think there's a lot you would point to that says there's a lot of evidence that says the Clippers are better. Having said that, they've not played like the better team over the course of 5 games because they're down 3-2. And what have you seen outside of game 3, where they blew them out, that would tell you they're going to be consistent enough to cover that number for you? That, to me, is where I would kind of draw the line and say, like, I'd rather be on Denver. I do think the Clippers win, and we have seen Kawhi do this. If you go back, the last series that he actually finished as a Los Angeles Clipper healthy, they were down 3-2 to the Dallas Mavericks. They went to Dallas in a game 6. He dropped like 45 points. He was incredible. They won the last 2 games of that series. They ended up winning in 7. They're capable of doing it. I just don't know if I want to lay such a big number and expect them to do it.
If the Clippers don't get out of this series, whether it's game 6 or game 7, are you vowing never to do this Clippers thing again?
Here's my issue with that, right? Is if they lose, let's say they lose in 7, but Kawhi is healthy, this is theoretically the first time we've seen them play with Kawhi fully healthy in a playoff series since 2020.
A different subset.
It's just a different team
from what we've seen the past.
You know, I keep
years.
Going back to you talk about all these teams, right? These different iterations. The cliche in the NBA is you have to fail before you succeed, or make a different phrase of that. We saw the Oklahoma City Thunder, okay, play in, then lose to the Dallas Mavericks, and now the expectation is you take a step forward and maybe win the Western Conference. Like we talked about, we haven't really seen this from this Clippers team. This is the first iteration, to use Kelly's version of it. This is literally just the core of James Harden, Kawhi Leonard, and Ivica Zubac, and then a lot of other different
pieces around. Right. It's a deeper team than what it's been before.
Now, like the thing against it, right, the point of evidence against it is, well, yeah, but Kawhi and James are old, and that another year maybe you don't fall apart. But I at the end of the day, even if they lose in seven, or hell, if they lose in six, and you tell me again next year Kawhi's healthy all year long, why would I not think that they could still win a playoff series or two?
I do think this is one of those series that you've made this point a couple times that, hey, guys like me and JVT who bet the NBA every single day.
I make this
in the
point
regular
every
season
year.
Versus the playoffs, yes. Right? This is, hey, I'm watching series tickets that are going to burn up in front of my eyes, possibly, JVT. Mm-hmm. I think you are too, but it's the, I bet on the better team. This is the better team. You can't convince me otherwise that Clippers are not the better team. But when you have the best player on the planet, and like you said, the consistency that you can rely on with that starting unit with Denver, it's been the entire difference in the series.
Yep.
Your Ime Udoka story reminds me of, have you ever heard the Adam Sandler joke from, this is his imitation of the coach, the opposing coach, when Wilt scored 100 in Hershey, Pennsylvania, is his imitation of the opposing coach. Who's got Wilt? And that was the whole bit. I love that. All right, tonight, John, Golden State, Houston, Minnesota, the Lakers. These are similar in that both home teams are down 3-1, game fives, Rockets favored by 4, Lakers favored by 6. Total in the Golden State game is 204. Total in the T-Wolves Lakers is 209.5. Do you have a play, sir?
So my initial thought, and I want to see what this is going to be, but actually I bet the over in the first quarter for Minnesota-LA. Logic here being that I think they're going to go back to what they call that Lasers lineup, the lineup that they closed out that second half with against the Timberwolves. Mm-hmm. If you look at what that lineup can do, it is a five-out lineup. It spaces the floor. It almost kind of not eliminates, but does. I mean, look, they closed the game with Naz Reid instead of Rudy Gobert. It forces them to play a little bit differently. Second half offensive rating with both teams is 124.1, like identically. They really turned up the efficiency. And I think, I would assume, J.J. Redick is going to start those five. Like, you have to. I think that is the adjustment that you make. And if that is the case, I think it lends itself to a little bit more scoring for both teams. And I think instead of getting these horrendous scoring games that we have seen in L.A., I think you get a little bit more offensive fluidity here if he indeed goes in that direction. So I thought playing that first quarter over would be something worth it. Total right now is 51, and I think that's something worth looking at, even if you want to pair with the Lakers, -2.5. But I think that adjustment should warrant some more scoring here for these teams.
Rockets, Warriors, anything?
So this one feels like, I feel like this is a play of principle. Like, I took 4.5 with Golden State when
wow,
I was up there.
There's one of you out there. Yeah. I've been sitting on the sidelines just listening to everybody talk about the Rockets.
Here's the thing. Like, the 4.5 to me was, again, it was just a numbers play. Like, that seems very too much. Again, the swing from going 4.5 the last game in Golden State to 4.5 here is very extreme. Having said that, there will be adjustments. I would expect that Steven Adams starts. I would expect they go double big again. I would expect Ime Udoka to not coach like an a-hole, to use his own term like he did down the stretch. But I just think that this is a very big swing for a team that does have its own issues defending Steph Curry. We have seen it greatly. Jimmy Butler's a little bit healthier, too. I think it's a little too far.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of positives to take away from that, from the Houston side from that last game, like the Steven Adams factor. But who are we relying on? Who are you confident that's going to score for this Houston team?
I know you got 20 seconds. I just want to say that really quickly. This number tells you the Rockets are better. I don't believe that.
I don't
either. And so that, to me, is worth taking 4.5.
Real quick, do you anticipate tomorrow night being on the Pistons, -2?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. I would think so. Cleveland, -7.5, game one against the Pacers. Sound about right to you?
I think Cleveland can run them out of the building. I'm a big Cleveland guy.
So, like, -450 for the series is kind of low, isn't it?
Yeah.
I think so, too. That number was odd to me. JVT, everybody, coming up top of the hour with Stormy on Money Moves, our senior NBA analyst. Thank you, John. Appreciate it. All our bets recap next.